Christian greetings, our beloved brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus, the only name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. So there is no other opportunity. And we are grateful this morning for that peace and joy that comes as we surrender our lives to Him. And He is concerned about each one of us. He wants us. And we are needy creatures, needy people. And we want to continue on with Him. Even if we have trials and struggles. You know, the Lord knows all about us. And He is there for us. The Hebrew writer says that God made mention that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I appreciated the devotional this morning in sharing the faith of Job. And he had more struggles than all of us together, I guess. I don't know. But anyhow, he clung to his Frömmigkeit, it says in Deutsch. His, David, what's the word you use there? His integrity, thank you. And so we can realize more through the faith chapter, and also as we shared in the youth class this morning, I just thought everything just fits together. The law of Christ, which is the gospel of Christ. And we as Christians, we as children of God, we have a promise of an eternal inheritance with Him. And that's why the apostle Paul wrote in Romans, the 12th chapter, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that acceptable will of God. There's two other words there. Pardon?
What is that good and
acceptable will of God? And I think all of us that have come to that knowledge have what it takes to know the will of God. Even though we don't always walk in obedience, sometimes we mess up. But then God's grace is there. If we see our mistake, if we see and feel that something is wrong, we can bow down and confess our sins, and he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When Henry sent a text up to see if I wouldn't come down to preach today, fortunately I'm not a stranger. I'm not like you're reading the budget. Sometimes they had a strange preacher. Well, maybe I'm more like that. I don't know. But anyhow, it's wonderful to be here. And I had thought about, and I know Christmas is Friday, the day they keep as such. What is more important than the Christmas story, if I can use that title? Seems like, we call it Christmas, but it's just more than a time of having gifts and candy and cookies and whatever the ladies fix for lunch or for the Christmas dinner, like they call it. It's more than this, that. It is because Jesus, God, gave His Son. And He came through the incarnation, a miracle. to redeem us from our sins and all unrighteousness. And so I didn't see anything better to just rehearse some of this Christmas story and the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I appreciated that our verse today, where he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So we are strangers and pilgrims here. We're on a journey. We're traveling. Some of us have lived most of our journey, most of our years. But we are drawn more and more to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the home in heaven. We're longing more to leave this lowland and rising up to the heavenly abode. And I trust every one of us, is looking forward to that, whether we're young or old, because there's many young people being called to from this life. We hear that, I don't know whether there's a week goes by that we don't hear of somebody that died or somebody that was in an accident or whatever. And so let us look beyond this life. For we are strangers and pilgrims here, and we're here this morning, assembled in the name of Jesus, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we're pressing toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so, what a blessing it is. We want to maintain that simple faith in our God and continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, maintaining that the simple life, not looking at the world, but looking at Christ and keeping our eyes on Jesus. And we want to continue on seeking that city which is not made by hands. The Apostle Paul said in Corinthians, I think it's maybe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where he says that we know when the house of this tabernacle, this fleshly tabernacle, is dissolved, we have a home in heaven. And that's what the faith chapter is talking about as well. So, okay, well, we need to move on. Time will go fast, I know. And I'd like to start reading on the advent of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Holy Child, in Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. And in the verse 18, we have this arrangement of all the generation, the genealogy, and so forth. But here it says, and I can't give it in any better words than what the Bible teaches us, and so we're going to do some reading here. So in verse 18, Matthew chapter 1, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being of just man, was not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, excuse me, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is interpreted, "God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel said. An angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she was brought forth, has brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Now we have this story, and I suppose the children, quite young yet, I remember well my dad reading these chapters when come Christmas time. And I think I was about 4 years old when we moved away from the old Zook homestead just a little north of Hartville, Ohio. And Dad would read this. And Dad would read at the time of communion. He would read certain chapters. He would read one especially that I remember is Isaiah 58 on fasting. And this all comes together as we think on these things. Joseph wasn't sure what all's happening, but when the angel of the Lord spoke to him, he did what he said. And I was looking at the prophecies. He says here, it mentions here that the prophet saying he should do fulfill, this is going to be fulfilled as the Lord spoke. And there are the third chapter, I believe, in Genesis, there are 43 prophecies from there till the New Testament of our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is coming. And here we are. He has been here for 2,000 plus years. Those people had faith, like we read in the faith chapter. And they, even though they didn't see it, they felt it. They knew it. They were looking forward. And when this happened, a lot of other things happened. They knew this. Now, I'm going to turn back to Luke. Luke in chapter 1 as well. For some more of this thing that was promised, the Savior of the Lord. I like Isaiah's prophecy there, as his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and so forth. So, if I find my chapter here, I want. Luke chapter 1. This is the conception of John the Baptist and of Christ and so forth. We may not read all of it. Here Luke starts out with, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order the declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all the things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of these things wherein thou hast been instructed." this Theophilus, he was the man that Luke was addressing, and he was an educated Gentile, they say. That's what the book says, everyone in the Bible. He was an educated Gentile who was either a serious inquirer of the recent convert to Christianity or a recent convert to Christianity. And Luke addresses him respectfully. And the words, he most excellent. So he must have been a person of good common sense and thinking about what these things mean in the Bible, all these prophecies. And of course, his word he used, implying that Theophilus was an important Roman officer or a minister of the equestrian order. I'm not sure just what that is, that which order that was. But anyhow, Luke goes on to say, excuse me. Luke goes on to say, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. That reminds me of what Brother David read this morning. Job was a man like that too, wasn't he? And I trust all of us men can be that too. And the women, you know, just everybody of us, to be that type of person. To be ready to serve the Lord. Verse 7, they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. The whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now we see with these couple of verses here, they were longing for a child. They were praying for a child. And God heard them. And we can testify that over the course of years, God has answered our prayers many, many times. Maybe not always, but probably if he didn't, our timing was off. And I'm just so impressed with this. And verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And we're still rejoicing today in blessing God because of the freedom in Christ Jesus, and that we can be in Christ. Not just knowing of him, but be in Christ. Verse 15, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit of power, in the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And I just add this anyhow. That's why we're here today, to be a part of the people of God and continue on in that until he calls us from this life. Ready to go, ready to stay, ready to do his will. Verse 18, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple, and when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself for 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. What a blessing. She just felt this wonderful. She was a devout woman, and she certainly looked forward to this. Verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Oh, may God be able to see that among all our women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation is this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. What a blessing for that lady. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her womb. In her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. May we just remember that verse. With God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. That is a wonderful response. Just a willing girl, a young lady, a maiden. I understand, according to some historians, that she was quite a bit younger than Joseph. But she was a lady that feared God before this thing happened to her. So Mary arose in those days, in verse 39, and went unto the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The Lord had already revealed that. For lo, as soon as the voice of that salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. We people, dearly beloved brothers and sisters, we're not left out. We're included in these generations, that the mercy of God is upon us. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in their imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months. And then, of course, it gives the story of the John the Baptist, which was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus. And it's amazing of God's way. We just stand in awe and humbly bow down before Almighty God, the way he worked things out. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard about the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered, Oh, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There's none of your kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled. And then the mouth of Zacharias was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And let's just take heed to this saying that he brought forth through the Spirit of God, of the Lord. The fear came upon all that dwelt around about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. So they were looking forward to this time. They had looked for many years. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. There again it refers to those 40-some prophecies that were brought forth before the Messiah ever appeared. He says that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised of our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he sware unto Father Abraham. See, they knew this come to their mind. They knew that this was promised to Father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. And here we are this morning, without fear that we would be disturbed or be challenged or even be like our Anabaptist forefathers. And I understand Norman had preached about some more of our Anabaptist forefathers in the past week, and these people were looking forward to that as well. He said, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And then the child shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light unto them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Now I'm going to read the first part of chapter 2 and then go back to Matthew. And it came to pass in these days that there went out a decree of Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Some of us might even know this portion of scripture by heart. We've known it. We've heard it when we were children, and it was rehearsed every year. I think I'm right in saying that this scripture was rehearsed every year. And so we just praise God for the blessedness. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. And he to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the shepherds in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And here we come with the main angel. I don't know whether that was Gabriel or one of the others. But the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, let's all say this together, Glory be to God the Most Highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Yes, That's what we have because of this happening that has happened many years ago. And so there'd be a lot more to read, but I'm going to turn back to Matthew there when John, and I hope you can bear with me, I have time, that clock's going fast. But anyhow, when John appeared in the days and started preaching, and that's in chapter 3 of Matthew, and he's saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." See, John was born for that very thing, to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. And saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had a raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey." And so you know the story of that. I don't want to prolong and really go over this, but you know the story how that he preached at the Jordan River and he baptized, and he warned those that were not at the, when he was there, many of the Pharisees and these the Sadducees and these hypocrites came and they wanted to be baptized as well. But John knew their hearts. He could see in their hearts. And God revealed these things to him. And he said, "O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And he said, "Bring forth therefore fruit, meat for repentance." And he says, "And think not within yourselves, ye have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the roots of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth good fruit, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast in the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And that still stands. Like the psalmist says, that our Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the ungodly, the way of the ungodly shall perish. So let us take heed in this, and I'm not, you know, most of you have heard this so many times, but it just blesses my heart to read over this, and there's children here that have well, I hope you all just teach your children and read that these situations at the time of Christmas so they know there's no Santa Claus. And I think it's really overly commercialized with gifts of whatever. And the spirit, it can be right. But to give gifts, there's nothing wrong with that. But like I tell my wife, "What can I give you for Christmas? You've got everything." So sometimes it's best. But now we read here soon how Jesus came to John the Baptist, and I didn't read all that. Maybe I should have, but the time's here to close. But we know that Jesus is here. Jesus is here, right here, now. And let us just simply be resigned to receive him into our hearts, and that we would be in Christ, in his heart. And he longs for us to continue on in the law of Christ, which is the gospel of Christ. And that testament, that will of God. And may we study these things and continue on. Because Jesus knows where we are. He knows every corner where we get to. He cares about the finest details of our life. Because he wants us to be able to come up to heaven, to be with him, to rise up, to leave this lowland here that we have, in which we live. And he cares about us, and he sees every struggle that we have, every private tear and heartache and pain. He's there for us. That's why he came. But he is familiar with our every trial and struggle that we have. Why? Because he traveled the way before us. Our Lord Jesus has walked the way before us. And he is familiar with the battles and temptations we face because he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Yeah, the rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. He's saying to us, I've been there. I know the way. I can help you through. Follow me. Take up our cross and follow him. And who would we rather follow than the one who has gone the way before us and came through victorious? May God bless you. Thank you for your prayers. And like I said, there's much more that could be read in this, but we all have our Bibles. And I was out at that in our storage building the other day and looked at that bookshelf that's about 12 feet long with 3-4 shelves. And there's a number of worn-out Bibles laying there. And this one here is simply the pages are coming out and falling apart. We all have Bibles. Let's continue to abide in Christ and he in us. Continue to pray for us. We're like-minded. And may the Lord be praised, and let's just kneel for a word of prayer.